What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today, I'm going to do a mock draft with specific fantasy analysis for each player if they were to land in these spots. So, a little fun, you know, if one of these guys goes to one of the places I have a mock draft, you will already know my instant analysis on the situation. So we're going to go through that. Also, this mock draft is not going to be like the mock drafts you have been reading, seeing, maybe listening on other podcasts. This is not necessarily a submission for my mock draft competition. This is not my submission for that. But this is me exploring some possible scenarios that I could see happening on draft day that most people, if any at all, are not even talking about. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to go through this mock draft. I will say this is mainly for the purpose of talking fantasy and talking for the outlook on skill position players. So I will not be putting much effort into which offensive lineman this team takes, which cornerback this team takes, and like the fit to that team or anything like that. I'm not well versed on the offensive line, not well versed on the cornerbacks or the D linemen or anything like that. So if I'm not making a skill position pick, which I'm trying to find fit and need and all of this stuff, do like a really true job in terms of trying to make something make sense for the skill position players. For the rest of the bunch, it's really me just picking somebody from the pool of a position of need, the position that I think the team is going to go to, and I'll just grab the guy that I think might make sense there, but I don't really know offensive linemen or anything like that in depth. But with that said, we're going to start it off. Obviously, Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Chicago Bears. I don't really need to have much discussion here. I don't believe in the coaching situation there, but I do believe in the weapons, and I do also think that there's a good probability that they're going to bring in another weapon. So once Keenan Allen's done after this year, they have a secondary wide receiver who's good enough to pair with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, and they've got Swift there, receiving running back. Roshan's not a bad receiving running back either. He's new to the team. You know, he was a rookie last year, so he's got plenty left in the tank for them. So they've got some weapons there. I think they might add to the cupboard for Caleb. Caleb's going to have a nice situation. In terms of that, I do think he's going to break every single record that's held by quarterbacks for Chicago, possibly as a rookie, maybe in year two if he doesn't do it as a rookie. But I do think he will be the best quarterback they have ever had, and it won't be close. And at number two, this is when we start getting spicy already. All right, I want you guys to remember that most of the time, what people pile on, what groupthink says after number one, a lot of the times is wrong, right? When we think about last year, CJ Stroud was not the favorite to go number two overall at multiple times through the offseason. Anthony Richardson was favored to go two overall right before the draft. Will Levis was favored to go two overall. Will Levis drops out of the first round. Anthony Richardson goes at four and Stroud goes at two, right? Things like that happen. Zach Wilson at number two overall to the Jets, a lot of people didn't see that coming. A lot of people were thinking, oh, okay, maybe they're going to go Trey Lance. Maybe they're going to go Justin Fields. I think that they should have gone Justin Fields. But no, they went with Zach Wilson, and that just fell out, right? So thinking about that in conjunction with the fact that the NFL rarely views, we're gonna give an outlier scenario, but I'll explain why that doesn't apply here. The NFL rarely views these quarterbacks that are producing with their legs and just running all over the place. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, guys like that coming out of college. They don't look at those guys as real quarterbacks. And, you know, Jaden Daniels had a lot of crazy plays. He's a good passer in certain aspects and stuff like that. He's got some potential, whatnot. But the combination of his size, his frame, and the fact that a lot of what he did was run the ball. Like, obviously, he had crazy passing stats, high volume of passing stats, too. But, you know, I'm pretty sure his season was better than Joe Burrow's in terms of stats or very close to it. But when you're looking at one of the things he does that helps him dominate, it's the legs. Lamar Jackson was a better passer than Jaden Daniels was in college. And his production profile was better than Jaden Daniels, and he did it at a younger age. And he ran all over the place, and he had a similar frame. Now, obviously bigger than Jaden Daniels, so that even goes more to the point that Lamar lasted till the very end of the first round. And Jalen Hurts went into the second round. These guys that run the ball at the quarterback position, that do it at a high rate, a lot of times they're not respected and looked at as the same type of prospect by the NFL itself. And so I think that is one reason that Jaden Daniels is not going to be the second quarterback off the board. I also think that he seems to be the one that wasn't too happy about the whole Washington having a bunch of all their prospects come play at Topgolf, interview, kind of not together, but at the same time, at the same location, stuff like that. He doesn't seem to be too happy about that, and supposedly Adam Schefter saying his desires to go elsewhere are more prominent, and we'll see what Washington does with that information. Look, I was already on this pick that I'm going to throw out. I was already on this, or the other quarterback, but I have not once thought Jaden Daniels was going to go number two to Washington. And now, with the recent stuff that's coming out, it's really just confirming that for me. At number two overall, I have J.J. McCarthy going to Washington. Now, that seems crazy, probably. He's the one nobody's really mocking to Washington. It's always either Daniels or Drake May. But I want to explore this scenario where J.J. McCarthy goes to Washington. Because J.J. McCarthy, if there's one thing that they can say, that you can say when you look at him is, and I don't really think that this is right, but Washington has had a big problem with winning. Right? They can't win. They just can't. And what has J.J. McCarthy done his whole life? He's always won. He just won the national championship. And he's got an NFL coach touting him as, oh, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. While we don't believe that, and we think he's just propping up his guy, I do think that when you're looking at McCarthy and May, both of them over Daniels, in my opinion, for especially what a lot of GMs and head coaches might, GMs more so, might look at and find interesting and find intriguing as a prospect. J.J. McCarthy, he does a lot of things well, and he's kind of a projection, right? He's a little bit of, hey, we didn't see that much volume. We didn't see him be asked to do a whole bunch of things. So for J.J. McCarthy to go number two, if you think about it, you know, if they're projecting, which a lot of guys like to do, just like when we're taking rookies in our super flex drafts and we're projecting ceiling and stuff like that, a lot of people might look at McCarthy and be like, oh man, there's all of these things we can do with him. Because they haven't seen enough snaps. They haven't seen enough bad habits, bad traits, things like that, that it's all just kind of clay ready to be molded, and they think that they can mold it the best, right? So that's why I have J.J. McCarthy going to Washington. They're trying to get somebody that's a winner. And what is the fantasy impact of that? And honestly, we can talk about this in light of Drake May too, and I'll make the comparison. If Jaden Daniels was the one that went to the Commanders, I would not be super excited about the offensive weaponry. I would be happy for Terry because Daniels has a really nice deep ball. Terry's a good deep threat. That would be good for Terry. I would be confident for him to be able to produce the way he has been. Maybe have some really peak games where he throws up a 30-point fantasy day. Jahan Dotson, I would be completely out on. Not completely, but I would be pretty out on with Jaden Daniels. While Jaden Daniels doesn't really like to target the middle of the field much, which is also, that's also a problem for Terry McLaurin, but I just don't trust Jaden Daniels in the NFL the same way I would trust McCarthy and May to get to their second read, their third read, when Dotson's not the second read, right? And May and McCarthy are much better targeting, you know, the middle of the field than Jaden Daniels is. And that's a big thing in the NFL. You know, it's not Arthur Smith also runs through the middle of the field. Okay, just forget about the Arthur Smith thing. I was confusing with another coach. But when we're looking at J.J. McCarthy, Drake May would be the best thing for fantasy purposes for the Commanders and really for anywhere because he targets the middle of the field well. He has a really good deep ball, much better than J.J. McCarthy's deep ball. And May is extremely aggressive. Extremely aggressive. That's great for wide receivers. Just like Jameis Winston was great for Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and, you know, Vincent Jackson when Vincent Jackson was there, right when Jameis was a rookie. Like, stuff like that. It's the same thing for May. And maybe May can develop and become even better and get rid of the bad habits, which I believe he can. And I see him with a similar Josh Allen possibility as a ceiling. He would be the best one rookie wide receivers, or not rookie wide receivers, fantasy veteran wide receivers as a rookie quarterback. And Jaden Daniels is the worst because not only is he not targeting the middle of the field, but he's taking away a lot of pass volume with his legs. So this would be a really good situation, taking J.J. McCarthy or Drake May compared to Daniels for these wide receivers in Washington. And I think that would be a decent spot for McCarthy. I think we give a lot of hate to Cliff Kingsbury. He was a head coach. He hasn't tried his hands as just being an offensive coordinator in the NFL yet. Maybe he'll suit that role better. And, you know, maybe it'll work out. So I think that's a pretty good situation. Number three, and we are going to start moving through this. I'm not really going to talk about the non-fantasy relevant picks. So don't worry about time. Drake May, three overall to the Patriots. I think this is the ideal thing for the Patriots. Being able to take the big, strong, prototypical type of quarterback, that's the guy that they want. And that's when they're looking around in their division, they see Josh Allen, they're like, man, we need something that can compete with that. Well, Drake May is that person that will compete with it. So I think that they would love that. That would also be awesome for not Drake May, but for whatever weapons they end up having at some point. Drake May, that would be a nice spot for him. It would be a little bit concerning for Antonio Gibson, Ramondre Stevenson in terms of their receiving outlook because Drake May is so aggressive. He's not really one to try to check it down to running backs very often. J.J. McCarthy would be better for that. And so Drake May for the Patriots, I would probably rank under, I don't know, it would be tough. Him and J.J. McCarthy, that would be tough for me in terms of who I would rank higher for fantasy purposes. I would definitely have them in the same tier, have them back-to-back in rankings, and I would probably try to diversify between the two because McCarthy would have better weapons, but probably, you know, just as questionable as a coaching situation as Drake May would, and I like Drake May better as a prospect than McCarthy, so the situation versus the prospect eval would kind of push against each other and even out a little bit to the point where I'd kind of just want to flip a coin from league to league between the two of them. And then at four overall, I have Malik Nabers going to the Cardinals. Everybody puts Marvin Harrison here, but we know there are teams that like Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison. At least that's what a lot of reports say, and I wouldn't be surprised because Malik Nabers, I love Marvin Harrison Jr., and he's a safer prospect, but honestly, they're all safe. The top three are all safe wide receivers. Malik Nabers has a higher ceiling because Malik Nabers has something that Marvin does not, and Malik Nabers is a monster after the catch. That's something that Marvin Harrison lacks right now. And in terms of athleticism, explosiveness, stuff like that, he will never get to where Malik Nabers is in that category. So while he's an amazing receiver, he might not have the biggest upside. And the Cardinals did just lose Marquise Brown, somebody who gave an explosive element to their offense, and Rondale Moore. So they might be looking for that explosiveness in the offense to pair with Trey McBride, who's a good route runner, safe hands, strong at the catch point, and Michael Wilson, who's a good route runner, safe hands, and strong at the catch point. That's what Marvin Harrison is too. You know, good route runner, safe hands, strong at the catch point. But they might not want that same mold for every single pass catcher. They might want that nitro in their offense, and that would be Malik Nabers. So I want to explore that, and I do think Malik Nabers would be the wide receiver one in my eyes for fantasy if he goes to the Cardinals, especially given where I have the rest of this draft going. At five, I have Joe Alt going to the Chargers. That will help out Justin Herbert a little bit, give him some sort of protection, give the run game a little bit of a boost, but nothing too crazy. Obviously, we want a receiver there for Justin Herbert. And then at six with the Giants, Jaden Daniels still on the board. I think they take him. I think they take him. He's somebody who is coming from LSU, big school, big success, won the Heisman. He's got a lot of things that you can like and convince yourself on as a prospect with the athleticism, the tenacity, the deep ball, stuff like that. And dropping to six in their lap, they don't have to trade up, give anything for it, give anything extra up for him. And Daniel Jones is coming up to the end of that atrocious contract that they committed to him. So I think that they could look this direction and say, all right, Daniel Jones, you know, ride us out this year, and then Jaden Daniels is going to take over. So that would not be a very good landing spot for the Giants. I would definitely have, despite Jaden Daniels having legs, I would definitely have him fourth in fantasy out of all of the quarterbacks for Superflex purposes. Jaden Daniels would be four. And, you know, like we talked about, McCarthy and May would be two and three back and forth, really 2A, 2B for me, and Jane Daniels at four. And then at seven, I have the Titans going offensive line, Olu Fashanu, and from Penn State. I think he would be a nice addition, a welcome addition to their offensive line. They need some help there for sure. And you also get to now look at Will Levis and say, all right, it's time for us to find out if he's good, because he's got a presumably good offensive mind at head coach. He's got a great offensive line coordinator or offensive line coach in Brian and Bill Callahan, the father and son as head coach and offensive line. And then you've got Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, Chig Okonkwo, Kyle Phillips, who I like a lot. He just needs to stay healthy. And two receiving running backs in Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. It's one of the most loaded pass-catching groups in the NFL. And if you look at that, and then you look at some offensive line additions that they made, overpaying for Lloyd Cushenberry, but still an upgrade, adding Olu Fashanu, and then Will Levis can't do anything with it, well, then there's your answer, right? But this also creates a very interesting situation that Will Levis could either be a great sell high, if you can get everybody to buy into those weapons and him developing, or he could be a great buy low if somebody's not recognizing that, or you think that he will be the one who develops. So it's a very interesting situation there for Will Levis in the Titans. Then I have the Jets making a trade with the Falcons. The Jets move up two spots to jump the Bears to get Marvin Harrison Jr. because he's still on the board, which is crazy, right? Crazy, probably not going to happen. But I want to explore this scenario where Neighbors is the first off the board, and how does Marvin fall past these teams that want offensive line in the Titans and the Chargers and the Giants, who desperately need a quarterback in my eyes. They desperately need wide receiver as well, but they don't want to ride Daniel Jones out this year and then go to next year's quarterback class for their future, because right now it's not looking anywhere close to what they have as options here. So Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Jets. Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison, I would have them ranked almost neck and neck. Garrett Wilson would be slightly above because we've already seen him do it in the NFL. He's a little bit, you know, aged now. He's got some veteran traits, and he's going to know more probably than Marvin Harrison Jr. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is going to feel more comfortable going to him. So I would have Garrett Wilson a slight tick above Marvin Harrison Jr., but Marvin Harrison, I wouldn't be like, oh no, it's the end of the world. He's not going to get 100 and whatever targets. It's fine, because he's going to be extremely efficient. He's going to be an offense that's really good if Rodgers can stay healthy. And Rodgers is going to target him once he quickly figures out how much of a ready pro Marvin Harrison is already. So that would be an interesting spot. I think it would keep him well entrenched behind Neighbors, because he just wouldn't be the number one, and even if he is the number one, he wouldn't be like far and away the number one. So that would be a really interesting scenario, and it's something that is possible. It's possible. Chicago, I have them getting Rome Odunze. That would be a great situation for him. He would be like JSN, somebody that is third on the depth chart to start, and I think it might create a decent value for Rome, except a lot of people are already mocking Rome here, and they're still taking him highly in rookie draft. So I don't know if that's already being accounted for or not in his value and his cost. But if he did land here and his price dropped a little bit, like let's say Rome goes here, right, as the wide receiver three behind DJ Moore and Keenan Allen for the year to go with Caleb Williams. And then let's say Brian Thomas goes to the Bills, or Adonai Mitchell goes to the Bills, or one of these guys, you know, go to be the number one with Josh Allen. I wouldn't be surprised if that guy jumps Rome Odunze, which I think would be a mistake for fantasy. So that would be interesting as well. Then I've got the Falcons, who made that trade with the Jets to move back two spots. I have them taking corner Quinyon Mitchell. If you think that's silly and they would take a different corner, whatever, I don't really care. I'm just putting a corner here. Then the Vikings, with all the quarterbacks off the board, them not being able to make a trade up, the Giants being like, oh, you know what, we actually want Jaden Daniels, and them not being able to move into the top three, which, by the way, I don't think the Vikings, who run their offense through the middle of the field, would really want Jaden Daniels, because he's the weakest quarterback at targeting that area of the field in this draft out of the top four. If, you know, he was the one to drop, Jaden Daniels, and you've got Caleb, JJ, and Drake going in the top three, none of those teams are likely to move right now, it seems, then I think the Vikings just swallow their pride and move forward and build an amazing team and try to figure out quarterback at another time. And maybe they like Bo Nix, or maybe they like Michael Penix, and maybe Penix is a candidate here at 11, but I don't think so. I don't think they would. I mean, maybe Penix, I could see it, but I want to explore the world that could exist, because everybody's just assuming the Vikings get a quarterback, the world that exists if they do not, and what Sam Darnold could look like there with great weapons, a really good coach, and he'd probably be a top-end quarterback too for fantasy, or a middling quarterback too for fantasy. Then I've got Terrion Arnold. Oh, so I had the Vikings taking Byron Murphy, defensive lineman. I have Terrion Arnold, the corner, going to the Broncos. And then I have, so, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, what about Michael Penix? What about Bo Nix? If they're not convinced on these guys, they're not going to force it, right? And maybe there's a little trade that I'm not projecting here. Maybe the Broncos trade back a little bit, and that's why they don't get the quarterback. But I have Michael Penix then at 13 going to the Raiders. I think that would be a great situation for Davante Adams, a great situation even more so for Jacoby Myers, who's got more in the tank as a dynasty asset. It would be a good situation for Michael Mayer. It would be good for everybody that is catching the ball in Las Vegas. I would like that a lot. And it's possible that they sit Penix for a little bit and play Minshew, which would also be good for Penix. So I think that'd be decent. I wouldn't hate it. And it would be really good for the weapons there. Now, for the Saints, at 14, I have them going offensive tackle, Talese Fuaga. Then I have Brock Bowers going at 15 to the Colts. I wouldn't love the spot for Brock Bowers, but I would love it for Anthony Richardson. Absolutely love it for Anthony Richardson. I would probably make him go up a little bit in my rankings. I mean, I've already got him higher than most people. I would take him up one, maybe two quarterbacks more. He would be at QB 5 or 6 for me instead of, I think, 7 right now for Dynasty. And it would really help the ascension. I mean, he would have Michael Pittman, Brock Bowers, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, Jonathan Taylor. Like, that's a... And obviously Shane Steichen. Which, oh yeah, by the way, that was the outlier I was talking about. I totally missed it. Totally forgot to go to it. When we were talking about, you know, how the NFL values, when I was explaining my Jaden Daniels slipping in the draft a little bit, when I was explaining that possibility. Well, Anthony Richardson is the guy who produced a lot with his legs and, you know, went 4 overall, kind of that outlier. But Shane Steichen has been the guy who was with Jalen Hurts and has shown to be able to create an offense around that type of quarterback. So it made more sense for Steichen to be able to take that chance and maybe be in the GM's ear and say, hey, get me this guy. I promise you I'll make it explosive and make it work and I can develop him. So that was a little bit of a different scenario, because Steichen was one of those few guys to really show talent to be able to make that work. Then, so yeah, I've got Brock Bowers at, you know, going to the Colts at 15. For Superflex rankings, if that was how it shook out, I would definitely have him at firmly entrenched behind all four quarterbacks. Yeah, I would have him behind Jaden Daniels. I'd have him entrenched behind all four quarterbacks. I'd have him entrenched behind the three receivers, so he'd be 108 at the best for me. But he's just really, I mean, with Pittman there re-signed and a low pass volume offense, it would be tough for me to say, oh, Bowers could be a top two, top three tight end. Unless he just goes crazy with touchdowns one year, but you don't want to bank on that. So for me, I would have him more as like back end of the first round is where I'd be okay taking him. I'd probably take, you know, if it's a wide receiver that I like, if it's like Adonai Mitchell, that goes to either Dallas or Kansas City, or, you know, a team that we know is going to throw the ball a lot, has a lot of targets to give up to a wide receiver. Bills, I'm not as high on the Bills as a landing spot as others are, which we've kind of talked about in the past, but I would take those guys over Bowers too. So it's just something to think about. Dallas Turner I have going to the Seahawks off the edge. I've got Troy Fontenot, offensive tackle, going to the Bengals. Keep Joe Burrow upright. Every time he's been upright, they've gotten to the Final Four. Jerzon Newton, the defensive lineman, have him going to the Rams. I have offensive tackle J.C. Latham going to Pittsburgh. Try to give some better protection over there. I have Amarius Mims, offensive tackle, going to the Dolphins. Give some better protection for Tua as well, because they've got a lot of offensive line questions, especially coming up in the future. And then I have the Eagles going offensive line, because they just love to do that in the first round, even though their needs might suggest going some other places. I have them going Jackson Powers Johnson, who apparently reports are saying the league is really high on and likes him a lot and his versatility between center and guard. And then I have the Bills making a trade here to come up to 23 with the Vikings. So the Vikings stayed pat earlier and they took, who was it? I had them taking Byron Murphy, possibly the best defensive player in the draft, right? That's a nice addition for them. Give Brian Flores some weapons there to really just create a game-breaking defense. And then now at 23, let's say, you know, Penix is gone. They don't like Bo Nix. That's not what they're looking for. That's extremely, like, you think J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix caps your ceiling as an offense? No, Bo Nix caps your ceiling as an offense because he is just a short to somewhat intermediate quarterback, and that's basically it. Like, that's not what you want with the weapons you have in Minnesota, and you're going to want somebody that's willing to take risks and be a little bit aggressive and go downfield, stuff like that, and that's just not Bo Nix. That's not who he is as a quarterback, so I don't think that they would be excited to take him here. I don't think they're taking any other quarterbacks in the first round here, so when the Bills are offering a trade-back scenario, which, you know, yeah, they traded up, but with the way the board's falling, they're like, all right, you know, we've got some needs, and there's a lot of guys that are here that we could like. Let's do it. Let's do it. Whatever. You know, we acquired the second first-round pick to try to go up and get a quarterback. The top three teams wouldn't move, and the guy who fell, we weren't excited about in Jaden Daniels. So, you know, sometimes not everything goes as planned, but we're going to make the best of it. They trade back with the Bills. The Bills jump Dallas to get the first wide receiver after the big three off the board, and they take Brian Thomas Jr. People would love that. People would be all over Brian Thomas. I would be kind of like, guys, this is a glorified Gabriel Davis for them. Like, he's not going to be super polished. He's not going to come in and be Stephon Diggs. And even what Stephon Diggs was, with the situation they have in the coaching staff now, I mean, he was 40 yards a game the last half of the year. I mean, they were not featuring him, and he was going crazy. He was amazing in the first half of the season. He didn't get hurt. Nothing happened, right? Something just clicked. Something changed. It was the offense, that when the offensive coordinator changed, the play caller. So with that play caller still there, I always forget if it's Dorsey or if Dorsey was the one that left. I always have to, like, go check my notes, and just in the spirit of keeping this rolling, I'm not going to go do that. You guys know what I'm talking about in terms of that situation. But Brian Thomas Jr., he would not be my wide receiver 4 here, because my wide receiver 4 for rookie drafts would be the guy who goes next to the Cowboys, Adonai Mitchell. You guys know I love him. I think he's a better prospect than Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. has just as much upside, but Adonai Mitchell is a freak. He's an athletic freak, just like Brian Thomas. He might be a little bit shorter and maybe a little bit slower on the 40, but I think they're, like, pretty neck and neck. Adonai Mitchell is better overall, though, if you look at his relative athletic score. He was 9.99, game-breaking, right? He's a freak of nature. He's a great route runner. A lot of people like to draw comparisons from Adonai Mitchell to, you know, he looks a little bit like CeeDee Lamb and some of the stuff he does, which I don't necessarily disagree with. And they were able to scope out CeeDee Lamb and make that pick. Why not be able to find Adonai Mitchell and pair him with CeeDee Lamb? That would be an awesome situation. I'd be all over Adonai Mitchell. And here, I would probably take, with Mitchell going to the Cowboys, Bowers going to the Colts, I'd probably move Mitchell over Bowers. I would still take Bowers over Brian Thomas, though, because I don't trust the Bills to just feature a wide receiver 1 right now, and they've got Kincaid, who I think Kincaid would get more targets than Brian Thomas would if Thomas went to the Bills. Honestly, I don't think the Bills are going to get anybody that's going to get more targets than Dalton Kincaid. Then at 25, I've got the Packers taking Graham Barton. They could use some offensive line help, and just that just makes the situation even better for Jordan Love. I've got the Bucks taking Jared Verse, edge. I've got the Cardinals taking cornerback Nate Wiggins. And then from trading back, I have the Vikings taking offensive tackle Tyler Guyton. To come out of this first round with Tyler Guyton, right, and oh my goodness, with Tyler Guyton and Brian Murphy, that's awesome. That is awesome. And you were just building a sick, absolutely sick scenario to drop a quarterback in when you finally have him. And Darnold, maybe he'll show you something. Maybe he'll give you enough with the amazing team that you're building around him to get you into the playoffs this year and be an interesting team. So that's what I've got as the top 28. Then we've got these last final 4 picks. There are 2 to talk about for fantasy. But I have Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback, going to Detroit. I think if Detroit has better wide receiver options on the board, they might think about going and grabbing a wide receiver, because you guys might like Jameson Williams. I'm not a big Jameson Williams guy. I think he's more of a low volume, explosive gadget, not gadgety, but you know, somebody that you're not going to rely on as a weapon. It's somebody that you're going to throw into a game plan, build into a game plan, stuff like that. Like, hey, we'll try to use him here, his speed, his deep tracking ability, whatever. But I don't think he's ever going to develop and really mold into a wide receiver two for them. So I think they'll be looking for a wide receiver two. And, you know, with Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas both off the board, I think they kind of just go elsewhere and go to the cornerback position, which they also need help in. So Kool-Aid McKinstry, I have him taking him. Then I have the Baltimore Ravens taking Laiatu. He's got some medical concerns, but, you know, you never know with those. Some teams might have him completely cleared, and other teams might have him off their board. Then at 31, San Francisco, I have them taking Ladd McConkey in light of all the Brandon Ayuk rumors and the fact that Brock Purdy is somebody that you need to have weapons around him for him to be successful and for your team to be successful. And Christian McCaffrey's coming up on 28. George Kittle's coming up on 31 or 32. And Debo's coming up on 28, 29. Like, that's Brandon Ayuk is your youngest piece there. And he's the one that is supposedly having some issues, right? So they need to get some other weapons in the building. Ladd McConkey is that weapon for them. I would like Ladd McConkey here. I think he's a really good wide receiver for Brock Purdy. That would be a really nice fit. And I think he would probably slot in above Brian Thomas for me in terms, which you guys might think is crazy because Ladd McConkey's in like a super stocked offense, but it won't stay stocked for long. And I believe Ladd McConkey is safer than Brian Thomas. And Brian Thomas's upside that I could get elsewhere. I can get upside in many ways. I don't have to spend a high draft pick on upside. So with that comes with a lot of risk. Adonai Mitchell comes with risk for different reasons. It's more off the field stuff, or not even off the field stuff, but I should say it's not a lack of being good at anything. He's a good route runner. He's shown that, stuff like that, that we haven't seen from Brian Thomas just because he wasn't asked to do it, so we don't know. But when it comes to Mitchell, really the only concern is, you know, I mess up and say off the field because it's just like questions of effort and motivation, and like sometimes it looks like he's taking plays off and stuff like that. But in terms of on the field and how he actually looks passing the eye test, stuff like that, I love him. So I don't really think he's a high risk player like everybody else does. I think he's going to go high in the NFL and he's going to be committed and he's going to give it his all and become wide receiver one. But anyways, not to get sidetracked, Ladd McConkey would be after Adonai Mitchell for me in these, you know, fake landing spots for the mock draft. And then at 32, I have Keon Coleman going to the Chiefs. The Chiefs got their speed element in Marquise Brown. They've got their close to the line of scrimmage element in Rashee Rice. They need their big over the middle target that they can just throw the ball to and be like, all right, he's tough. He's going to bring it in. Maybe can push some guys off, get some more after the catch, which Rashee Rice is good at as well. But they need that over the middle of the field big target with Kelsey fading. Kelsey's their big middle of the field target right now. He won't be for long. So if they're not grabbing a tight end to replace him that they believe in, then they're going to need a bigger wide receiver. And I think that might look at Keon Coleman and see that potential and take him. They've already tried their hand at smaller guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Sky Moore, and that stuff hasn't worked out. They took Rashee Rice, who's a little bit of a stockier, stronger type of guy. He's not huge, but he is stronger, and that worked out for them, right? They tried Kadarius Toney, a smaller, lighter frame guy. That didn't work out. So, and Tyreek is a stocky guy too. So everything that's worked out for them on offense, Isaiah Pacheco's a strong guy, has been strong, thicker players, and that's what Keon Coleman is. So I think that they would be tantalized by that and they would take him, and I would love that for fantasy. I like Keon Coleman more. I have less concerns on his separation than other people. I think he is good enough where, and he's athletic enough, especially if you look at his relative athletic score, that he'll be just fine. And he's got really strong hands. He might not have the best percentage of contested catch situations. However, he is very equipped to do that. He just needs to get a little bit better at it. But he's not Quentin Johnston. He's way better than Quentin Johnston. He knows how to track the ball. He knows how to adjust to the ball, contort his body. He's got safe hands in terms of just regular being a receiver. He's a better route runner than Quentin Johnston. Like, it's not even close. They're not the same prospect. Don't think of them as the same person. So with that said, that's my little mock draft. I want to explore some different stuff. We'll go take it from the top. At the top of the draft, and this is, you know, mock drafts are supposed to be fun. They're supposed to get you to think. If I just go out here and do a mock draft for you guys that you've heard 100 times with a bunch of the same people going to the same place, that's not fun. There's nothing to benefit from that, nothing to gain from that. And the best mock drafters get 7-8 picks in the first round, right? Less than 25% hit rate. You know, that's like the best ones in terms of matching the right players to the right teams. So I wanted to explore something new, something a little bit different than what you've seen. I've got Caleb Williams going to the Bears at 1, Washington Commanders at 2 taking J.J. McCarthy, at 3 Drake May to the Patriots, 4 Malik Nabers to the Cardinals, then Joe Alt to the Chargers, Jaden Daniels at 6 to the Giants, Olufashinu to the Titans, Marvin Harrison in a trade to the Jets at 8, Rome Odunze at 9 to the Bears, Quinyon Mitchell going to the Falcons at 10 from their trade with the Jets, Byron Murphy at 11 to the Vikings, Terrion Arnold going to the Broncos at 12, Michael Penix Jr. at 13 to the Raiders, Talese Fuaga to the Saints, Brock Bowers at 15 to the Colts, Dallas Turner to the Seahawks, Cooper DeJean to the Jaguars, Troy Fatanu to protect Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Jerzon Newton to the Rams, J.C. Latham at 20 to the Steelers, Amarius Mims to the Dolphins, offensive line Jackson Powers Johnson to the Eagles at 22, Brian Thomas Jr. in a trade when the Bills come up for him at 23, Adonai Mitchell at 24 to the Cowboys, the Packers at 25 taking Graham Barton, the Bucks, Jared Verse at 26, Nate Wiggins, the corner to Arizona, Tyler Guyton from the trade back with Minnesota and the Bills, Minnesota taking Tyler Guyton at 28. And then to round out the first round, we've got Kool-Aid McKinstry at 29 to the Lions, Laiatu Latu, edge to the Ravens, Ladd McConkey to the Niners, and Keon Coleman at 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs. You guys feel free to bash me, to mock me on my mock draft. And thank you guys for tuning in, listening, just something a little bit fun. Push out one last little draft teasing type of product before the draft kicks off. And if you want to enter the draft competition, the mock draft competition for the first round that I have going on in the Discord, hit me up. $5 entry, whoever gets the most draft picks matched up with the proper team that took them, that person's going to win the pot. So it's just something a little bit fun, give you a little something to root for and try your hand at, you know, doing your own mock draft and seeing how you do. So with that said, thank you guys for listening. Drop a rating, drop a review. Until next time, peace.